The sermon title for the morning contains the seed of the two talking points we'll briefly reflect on: the experience of awe and fishing, specifically fishing for people. And our text this morning is the lectionary text for lectionary gospel text for this, the fifth Sunday after Epiphany, Luke 5, verses 1 through 11, and stands as the call of the first disciples as Luke records it. So I'll be reading the first 11 verses of the fifth chapter. Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, that's Simon Peter, and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let your nets down for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night, but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." When they had brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. Friends, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Let us pray. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, you who are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Back when I served as the associate pastor of the American Church in Paris, we got to know Barbara Porter, an American from California who was living in Paris and serving as the director of the bilingual Montessori preschool that rented space from the church. Well, anyway, Barbara and her family owned a little chaumière in Normandy, about 2.5 hours or so outside of Paris, and she offered it to us from time to time. I couldn't find a picture of the exact one, but that looks very much like it. And this particular chaumière dated from sometime in the 18th century, having been a part of a large estate, which over the years had been split up and sold, and was rustic, to say the least, with a thatched roof which needed replacing, and a fireplace which was almost as so big that you could stand in it. Anyway, it was fairly isolated, to the point that when you were there, especially at night when it was literally pitch black outside because there were no big towns close by to emit light and there were no houses within sight, it could actually get pretty spooky. I remember the first time we went, it must have been in the summer or during a spring break, because our son Richard, who must have been 10 or 11 at the time, went with us. And I do remember it took him some time to get used to being away from his Nintendo game, which was Nintendo back then. But after a few days, the rural setting kind of kicked in, and we found ourselves settling into a pleasant rhythm. Well, one of the nights we were there proved to be a particularly memorable one. As I mentioned, it got really, really dark. And on this particular night, we were sitting outside, and the night sky was absolutely filled with stars. You've seen a sky like that before, probably. The moon wasn't out, so it was amazing. And then shooting stars started flashing across the sky. I don't know, maybe it was a meteor shower or something. And we just sat there transfixed, and I remember Richard saying, "Wow, look at that. This is amazing." And it was amazing. It was an awe-filled moment. one in which I found myself feeling strangely elated, almost a sense of euphoria, energized, optimistic, and I inexplicably felt like hugging Teresa and Richard, and would have done so to anybody else who happened to be in the area if they had been there. And I hope you have had awe-filled moments from time to time in the course of your life. Well, friend, Simon Peter had something of a similar incident, though it wasn't from the night sky or another natural phenomenon. Rather, it was in an encounter with Jesus. Peter was a fisherman. We can assume he was a decent fisherman. As our text indicates, he owned his own boat, he had partners, so we can reasonably conclude that's how he made his living. Indeed, you'll remember if you advance the story sometime, after Jesus is crucified, the author John reports that Peter goes back to fishing initially. So one can assume that he was able to support himself and his family, if he had one, through this profession. So it's safe to assume that though Peter and his fellow fishermen may not have had sonar and satellite technology and all the other fish tracking devices we have today, still they had grown up around the water and knew their livelihood. They knew when to fish, what fish would run at certain times of the year, how to handle the nets, and most indefinitely how to bring a good price for their catch. So when this son of a carpenter shows up telling this group of fishermen how to do their job, there were probably more than a few knowing glances exchanged. Frederick Needner, writing about this text, notes, "Most of us enjoy stories about naive amateurs who make bizarre mistakes. We chuckle knowingly over the man who complained about the performance of his new powerboat, only to have the marina staff discover that he'd launched the boat without taking it off the trailer. Or the woman who mistook her CD-ROM drive. I don't even have CD-ROM drive on most computers anymore. Anyway, she mistook her CD-ROM drive on her computer for a retractable cup holder. Such tales permit us to feel savvy and urbane by comparison. The Galilean fishermen, hard at work on their nets, may have recalled stories like that when this upstart teacher from Nazareth asked to use one of their boats as a podium. And a bit later, they have proof of his ignorance when he told them to cast their nets in the deep during broad daylight. But of course they bring in a haul of fish. And notice after they catch all the fish, Simon Peter doesn't ask Jesus a fishing question. Like, how did you do that? How did you know where to catch all those fish? What's your secret? Want to join my fishing crew? Which you think might have been a reasonable response from Peter. Rather, Simon Peter sees in this experience something far more. He becomes aware he is in the presence of a power he himself does not possess, and it produces in him feelings of awe. He comes face to face with his own finitude, recognizes his own limitations, and this produces in him a deep feeling of humility, bordering almost on fear. "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man," he says. With that context, talking point one, awe. Friends, we need the experience of awe in our lives. Many people share that they get emotional the first time they see the Grand Canyon, as the sheer scope of what you're witnessing is hard to take in. And it produces feelings of humility, gratitude, a certain oneness with creation. And what's fascinating about it is that science suggests that feelings of awe actually change the brain and affect other bodily systems to the point that experiences of awe are thought to inspire creativity, to enhance feelings of well-being, to increase immunity, to deepen spirituality. Thinking of it theologically, in the presence of these what I would describe to be divinely rooted experiences of awe, we are on the one hand overwhelmed by our own limitations, our own finiteness, but this feeling of humility of being part of something larger brings with it strong feelings of gratitude, optimism, well-being, and a sense of and a connection with the rest of humanity. Such as to say, as Ryan Blair does, create experiences that leave you in awe, for these will be the highlights of your life. And not only that, they're good for your health, and they deepen your spirituality. So whether it's a visit to the Grand Canyon or an art museum or a concert, put a little awe in your life. And talking point two, fishers of people. Simon Peter's response to Jesus is one of awe and humility, an appropriate one in the face of his experience. But then Jesus offers first a word of comfort and then an invitation. Do not be afraid. A recurring theme in the Gospels, by the way. From now on, you will be catching people. As the other Gospels put it, follow me and I will make you fishers of people. You know, sometimes what is not said, what Jesus doesn't say, is just as important or illuminating or instructive as what he does say. I mean, Jesus doesn't say here, follow me and I will make you happy. Jesus doesn't say, follow me and I will make you a celebrity. Jesus doesn't say, follow me and I will make you wildly successful. Jesus doesn't say, follow me and you will never have a worry in your life. Rather, what Jesus says is, follow me and I will make you fishers of people. This all-inspiring Jesus invites Peter into a life of relationship, into a life of gathering other people from the midst of their own struggles and doubts and failures and making a living, into making a life with the holy and perfect God of Israel. You see, Jesus calls you and me into a relationship not only with this holy God, but with each other. Jesus calls us to enter into the lives of other people and get involved in the messiness of life. Jesus calls us to spend our time and talent and resources in sharing with others the good news of God's grace. That's what Simon Peter and the other disciples ultimately do by telling others, look at what God has done in my life. I was lost, but now I'm found. God can do that in your life too. Friends, our God is a holy God who calls us to become fishers of people. And Jesus does so by getting into the boat with us and sharing in our challenges, our joys, and our failures. As we answer Jesus' invitation, we too step out in faith, inviting others to experience a living and vital relationship with the one we know as Lord, even Jesus Christ. What a wondrous calling it is. Let us pray. Oh God, we thank you for this world you created and called good, and for the myriad opportunities we have to experience all. It can be found in so many places. And we are grateful as well that you call us into relationship, not only with you, but you charge us to be in relationship with our brothers and sisters, reaching out in ways which bring help and healing. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.